you know, I sometimes when we teach on certain subjects, you look for songs to go along with that subject, and it's hard to find a song that's been written about the ascension. You know, most of Christian hymns have centered on what occurred at Calvary, but oftentimes other aspects of Jesus Christ's accomplishments are overlooked. It's also similar to very few songs written about the coming of Holy Spirit. Very fertile for those of you that are musicians and songwriters to approach some of these lesser-known topics and from God's Word. But there is a song that was written about the ascension, performed by a friend that we've had for a long time, a guy named Cliff Adelman, and I want to play it for you. So this is a song about the ascension. Tommy?
To fly, they saw those sandals in the sky. Jesus Christ didn't need any rocket fuel or gas. He didn't even have an airplane ticket or a pass. Yet he ascended up toward heaven, clear out of sight. When God does something, he always does it upright. Orville and Wilbur weren't right after all. Thought they'd be first to fly and not fall. But witnesses stood by when Jesus began to fly. They saw those sandals in the sky. You and I, rest assured that Christ is coming back, taking us on a one-way trip. There's no need to pack. When you get on board with the Lord, you only go first class. The flight lasts forever. It's gonna be a real gas. Orville and Wilbur weren't right after all, but they'd be first to fly and not fall. But Jesus Christ, he took a flight 2,000 years before. He rose up from the dead, then he rose quite a bit more. Witnesses stood by when Jesus began to fly. They saw those sandals in the sky. Witnesses stood by when Jesus began to fly. They saw those sandals in the sky. They saw those sandals, oh, those sandals. They saw those sandals in the sky.
All right. And right here at camp this week, we've had a song, not really original song written, but an adapted song about the ascension. And Andrew McGarry is going to come up and share it with us. Okay? So, Andrew, come on up. Hot off the presses.
Consequence, say it aloud.
heart now, just with your mouth. There goes my hero, passing through the sky. There goes my hero, he's extraordinary. Was the best of them, without a doubt, sent to heaven on a cloud. Truth and consequence, shake it all out. He's that evidence, confess with your mouth. Passing through the skies. There goes my hero, he's extraordinary.
Good, that was terrific. How about Psalm 103, please? I think one thing you can appreciate is that because of the work of Jesus Christ, things have changed dramatically. And it's important to recognize the incredible progress that has been made because of his accomplishments. The Bible certainly addresses different eras or different time periods, can be understood as administrations, because certainly people living today are in a far different environment than Adam and Eve were originally. That's for sure. I notice you all have clothes on and a few other changes. I like Camp Sierra, but this isn't exactly paradise. But there is a verse that talks about the Old Covenant and talks about the children of Israel in Psalm 103. You know, it's important to recognize that what came on the day of Pentecost was Holy Spirit by birth and Holy Spirit available to all. But there was Holy Spirit available prior to Pentecost, but it was available only conditionally, and it was given upon the condition that those men and women that received it would be faithful. And it was given for specific purposes at specific times. In other words, it was very limited. And there's a verse that sort of encapsulates a lot of this in Psalm 103, where it says in verse 7, "He," referring to God, "made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto" who? "The children of Israel." You see, back in the time of the Exodus, the Passover, the events that we've studied at this camp, God had a very close working relationship with his man Moses. And Moses was a faithful one. It says that Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Now, there's only one that could know how meek Moses was, and that certainly to say that he was the meekest upon the face of the earth, the only one who could know that is God. But God had a very close relationship with Moses. And so God spoke to Moses because Moses had Holy Spirit. And then Moses would make known to the children of Israel what God had made known unto him. So the children of Israel observed Moses. They received instruction from Moses, but they didn't have that direct connection. You know, sometimes I think people might get stuck a little bit in this thinking that there's perhaps one guy who is the man of God, and that all the rest of us need to hear from him or her. That's not recognizing the progress that's been made because of the work of Jesus Christ. How different is the book of Acts? Look at Acts chapter 2. We had this verse earlier this morning, but it really in so many ways sets the stage for the period of time in which we currently live. Because in Acts chapter 2, the verse that records the first time that anyone could receive Holy Spirit by birth, verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, it wasn't just given to one guy. At this point in time, it was given to all 12 apostles. And then later on in that same day, there were added to the church about 3,000. So this first day of Christianity, the church numbered about 3,012. But the key thing is that everyone, all, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit was all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God is in Christ, and all the fullness of Christ is now where? In us. We are all filled. You know, it's not one guy making known the ways of God to the masses, but all of us have a connection, every single one of us. And to think anything else is to deny the incredible progress that God has made through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, every one of us have access to God. Every one of us have the power and ability to operate all nine manifestations. And we're going to look at that through this time that we still have at camp. But we're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at what Peter said again by revelation on this great day of Pentecost. Verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." It's only 9 o'clock. You know, the bars aren't open yet, you know. It's only 9 a.m. These guys aren't drunk. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon" who? All flesh. See? Upon everybody, upon all flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall" what? Prophesy. And prophecy is one of the nine manifestations. You know, sons and daughters would indicate younger people. Right? Your sons and your daughters. It also would indicate of both sexes. And then it goes on to say, "And your young men shall see visions." Context would be receiving revelation. Shall see visions. "And your old men shall dream dreams." Again, receive revelation. So young and old, both sexes, everybody being able to operate the Spirit of God. "And on my servants," verse 18, "and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall" what? "Prophesy." See, all filled with all spiritual blessings. You know, all of us having all the abilities of Christ born within. And boy, that's how we should see ourselves and see each other. Now, just because you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead doesn't mean that you're initially going to prophesy. or that you're going to operate revelation manifestations. It doesn't even mean that you're going to speak in tongues. All of us need to grow. All of us need to be taught. All of us need to read and understand what is ours. You know, in many ways, that which came on the day of Pentecost was not fully understood until it was given by revelation, the Apostle Paul, and then he wrote down what we would call the church epistles. 9 epistles written to 7 different churches of the first century. But the literature of the Bible that pertains to us today, and in many ways the church epistles are like an operator's manual for Holy Spirit, to really see what you have in the new birth and what you can do with it. I can't think of a better thing that any Christian could do than to read the church epistles. I can't to start in Romans and really take a good look at what you've got in Christ, to really understand the period of time in which we're currently living. As some of you know, I've spent some time first with homeschoolers and then also with some of these gentlemen that are seated here, some Hawaiian guys that came over to our house for a year, and then subsequent to that with some other folks, but just going through the church epistles, you know, line by line, word by word, you know, so that you really understand it, so that you get it. You know, it takes some time to learn what you've got, but we all can do it. We can apply ourselves. You know, there isn't a Moses sitting up on Mount Sinai who's going to come down and pronounce everything that you're supposed to do. It's not like that in this period of time. You've got a better connection. See, there's not even a Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said there's something better to come. We read about that this morning. It's good for you that I go away because it's better that we've all got Holy Spirit. Every one of us, wherever we go, it's Christ in you. Boy, but to take some time and really go through the church epistles and make them your own is life-changing. Look at Acts chapter 2, or excuse me, we're there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, please. You know, back in the Old Testament, the temple represented the relationship of God to his people. And remember, there was that veil that Bob taught us about. You know, some say that it was as much as 60 feet high, and it was quite thick and interwoven with gold. And, you know, it represented the barrier between man and God. But as a result of Jesus Christ's redemptive work, remember, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, which represents the full and complete access that we have to our Heavenly Father. There's no barriers. You know, also that middle wall of partition was torn down between Jew and Gentile, so there's not to be barriers between people. You know, the world erects all kinds of barriers. You know, barriers between, you know, oh what, ethnic groups, you know, races of people, between nations. You know, how about barriers between, oh, men and women? You know, economic barriers between lower, middle, upper class. All of that stuff has no place in the church because we are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. We all have the same rights, privileges, and abilities. Now, each of our privilege and responsibility is to get on the grow. And boy, that's what this camp is about. That's what our lives are to be about. But in Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verse 18. It says, "For through him we both," and we had this earlier, "we both" refers to both Jew and Gentile. You talk about a huge barrier that pre-existed Pentecost. You know, the Jews by law could not interact with the Gentiles. You know, it's against the law for them to have any relationships, basically. But it says, "For through him," through Jesus Christ, "we both Jew and Gentile, have access by" what? "One Spirit unto the Father." Why? Because we're all filled with that Spirit. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, because you have that access, are you going to automatically use it? Not necessarily. But we certainly would be foolish to neglect it. How about Ephesians chapter 3? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose, or one translation renders that eternal purpose as the purpose of the ages. According to the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. You know, this gets back to God's original intentions for mankind. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So we have that access, and that access is not a limited access. It's access with boldness and with what? Confidence. And we read earlier today that we're to boldly approach the throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy to help in times of need. You know, boy, to take that access that we have to God and use it. Now, how do you use it? Well, certainly a big part is our prayer life, right? To come to God. God encourages us to pray in everything, at all times. You know, pray without ceasing. Have you ever attempted to implement that verse? Pray without ceasing, but yet we can do it. See, pray to God in all of life's situations, for everything, for everybody. You know, to take the time and go to our Heavenly Father. But that access is not just prayer access. It's also access for information. You know, you get into a situation, perhaps some of you are in it right now, where you don't really know exactly what to do with your life. You know, maybe you've come to a crossroads, or you've come to a fork in the road. Which way do you go? What should I do? You know, Father, what's your will for my life? Well, we've got access because we can operate the Spirit. Remember that access is through the Spirit. And the Spirit enables us to receive needed information from God. It says in James, if any man lacks wisdom, which basically says, if any man knows not what to do, have you ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do? Like a lot? Let him ask of God, who giveth wisdom to all men liberally. See, we need to use the access that we have, and God is so wonderful to fulfill his desire of giving us needed information, of hearing and answering our prayers, of helping us to understand his will for our lives. Look at Psalm 62. You know, at family camp, perhaps as much as any week of the year, there certainly is a lot of light and a lot of love. And I found that personally, and also from observing the experiences of others, that it's in a lot of light and a lot of love is a good time to make decisions. It's a good time to check with the Heavenly Father, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? I know that many of us are at a point where we have needs. We might have soul sincere desires, things that have been on our heart for a while. Well, this is a good time to get direction and guidance, to see God here and answer our prayers. But we've got to seek. We've got to go to him. We've got to use the access that we have. In Psalm 62, it says in verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You know, God's desire is that we would pour out our heart before him. You know, he loves it when we go to him, when we use the access that we have. We have certainly much greater access than David or any of the Old Testament believers might have had because of the accomplished work of Christ. We have access through the gift of Holy Spirit. But God wants us to use it. God wants us to pour out our heart before him. And in light of what I've shared, what I'd like to do for the rest of this morning is give you some time to implement this, to take some time, not with your brother or your sister, but with your Heavenly Father. What can be thought of as a duo, you and God, you and your Father, you and your, you know, Abba, your daddy, to pour out your heart, make your requests known, you know, ask of Him that which you need, you know, go to Him seeking guidance and direction. And, you know, He will give it. He is faithful to His Word. You know, the Word of God works and the Spirit of God works. So at this time, I'd like you to get out of here. Go disperse yourself. You know, head out. There's some beautiful places. Now, kind of stay away from the teens and the children as much as possible. But go off in a different direction. Go find a rock to sit on or a tree to sit under. If you want to take your Bible or notepad, go ahead. If you don't want to, that's fine. And at the end of this duo, we'll ring the bell, and at that point, we'll head down and enjoy the rest of our day at camp, okay? So God bless you.